Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The defense of Diddy saying we own the ugly, but not the criminal. What happened? What it means, and what's next? As the defense rests and give their closing arguments in the trial of Sean Diddy Combs, that's what we are about to dive into today. There's a lot to break down because we had the closing arguments from the defense, and then we had the rebuttal from the prosecution, and we're going to go through all of it. We're going to start with what happened. First, the defense saying just that. We own the ugly, but not the criminal. Defense attorney Mark Agnifilo opened with a bold thesis. The trial is based on exaggeration, mischaracterization, and emotion, not law, he told jurors very flatly. We own the domestic violence, referring to past abuse allegations involving Cassie Ventura. But then he drew a legal line. That's not what's charged. He even added that part in. He did the little laugh there, and the jurors clapped, and no, okay, that part didn't happen. Agnifilo acknowledged Combs' volatile behavior, drug use, controlling tendencies, and toxic relationships, but he argued that those were moral failings, not RICO-level federal crimes. His strategy?
My client's a piece of shit, but he's not an illegal piece of shit.
Basically, yes. That's essentially the argument.
Jesus.
His strategy? Embrace the worst optics, deny the legal liability. Don't convict a man for being a bad boyfriend. Fiona, bad boyfriend. He told the jury, convict him only if he violated federal law. Sex parties were also reframed from freak-offs to free will. The infamous freak-off parties, multi-day drug-fueled sex events weren't denied by the defense. In fact, they leaned into them. Agnifilo described the encounters as how do you say it?
I don't know the word, which I guess is a good thing. That
polyamory.
I don't know the word.
I was saying poly.
Oh, polyamory. Yes.
Yeah, I just couldn't
like just
think.
Having multiple partners.
Yes.
You love everybody.
Yes. Polyamory. Okay. I was saying it incorrectly. Consensual threesomes, whatever you want to call it, but firmly stated they weren't crimes. He mocked the prosecution's emphasis on seized boxes of lube and sex toys, saying, Astroglide, take him off the streets. Literally, a quote from Mark Agnifilo today in the courtroom. And the courtroom laughed. And then you heard, bang, 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 bang. He's like, what is it with about Astroglide? I mean.
Yeah. Total Seinfeld moment. And if you don't know what that means, go look it up.
Yeah. His point. The government's narrative turned legal adult behavior into federal charges by framing it as coercion and trafficking. Countering the government's pillars, Agnifilo then dismantled the three predicate acts supporting the racketeering charges, kidnapping. Assistant Capricorn Clark wasn't kidnapped, she said. She went home every night. Bribery. Combs. Paying for hotel footage wasn't obstruction. It was to keep it from TMZ, not the police. And arson, he slammed the idea that Combs had anything to do with Kid Cudi's car explosion. There's not a shred of evidence, not even Cassie said he did it. And the tone, fire and performance. Agnifilo did not just talk. He performed out there today. He shouted. He paced. He gestured towards Combs' mother and children in the gallery.
Can you imagine how down with it, man.
Can you imagine how weird that would be being, like, sitting there? In, I don't know. Maybe it's not weird if that's your dad. But if that was my dad and I'm sitting there hearing about freak-offs and all the horrible things he's done, and I mean, there was a lot that came out in this trial.
Thanksgiving table's going to be a lot different if he gets out.
Is it? Is it? Or is it just, I mean, at the end of the day, they grew up in a world where the man who made the money was him. And I think your best...
whatever he wanted.
Your interest would probably be in him continuing to make that money. Or retain that money, maybe the correct phraseology right now, because you ain't going to be like filthy rich for the rest of your existence if this goes down the wrong direction. So
yeah, college is not going to be paid for.
Yeah, I know nothing about these kids, but I'm going to guess a few of them from what we know may not necessarily, I don't know if they went above an eighth grade level, but not all of them, just, you know, a few of them. Anyway, he waved away the prosecution's entire case as a false trial based on lifestyle, shaming, and sex panic. They turned threesomes and cocaine into racketeering. That's not justice, that's reach, is what he said. So, what happened? That was what happened today. What it all means? Well, strategy, confess the sin, deny the crime. It was not a he didn't do it defense. It was a he did a lot, but not that defense. Trying to own the words and own the worst facts up front. The defense tried to take the sting out of them, basically. They steered the jury to focus on the legal definitions. Did Combs force, coerce, bribe, or conspire with full knowledge and intent? Or was this just reckless hedonism for a guy who never had boundaries? You know, and there's emotion versus the evidence. The defense put emotion front and center. Diddy's love for Cassie, their intimate text, the idea that she's not a victim, but a partner who turned when it was profitable. Read the text, Agnifilo told jurors. You'll cry. They're beautiful. Yep, literally his words. You'll cry. They're beautiful. How about look at the video when he's stomping on her head in front of the elevator.
Yeah,
you'll cry.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
He's disturbed. It was an attempt to humanize the chaos and paint the prosecution as cold, overreaching, and theatrical. Undermining the narrative, every major accusation got a scalpel. Kidnapping, they're saying no physical restraint. Bribery, protecting privacy, not evading justice. Trafficking, escorts weren't coerced. They were paid, willing adults. Conspiracy, no real conspirators were charged. No one said, we're in on this. But they were your witness, the witnesses of the prosecution. Now, what kind of deals they got cut? Mm-hmm. But enough not to be charged at this moment in time. So that's where your co-conspirators actually are in this case. So what's next? Well, the prosecution gave their rebuttal. They basically said enough excuses. Assistant U.S. Attorney Maureen Comey, daughter of Jim Comey, stepped in after lunch and swung hard. Her first line, excuse after excuse for inexcusable criminal behavior. She reframed everything. This was not about the relationships. It was about control, violence, and power. He got what he wanted when he wanted it, she said, by any means necessary. And then rebuilding the RICO, Comey hammered the enterprise structure, saying, he's not a foot soldier. He's the general, she said. He's delegated the crimes. She pointed to Christina, KK, Corum, Combs' right hand, as proof of conspiracy. Corum arranged the $100,000 payoff of a hotel guard to cover up Cassie's beating. That, Comey said, is RICO 101, tearing down constant claims. The defense called it consensual. Comey called it trafficking. They don't have to call themselves prostitutes, she told the jury. He transported them with the intent to pay for sex. That's sex trafficking. She emphasized that consent becomes irrelevant when power, money, and coercion are involved. Even the male escort, who would have done it for free, she said, still got paid, proving it was transactional. Calling out victim blaming, Comey directly challenged the defense's portrayal of Cassie, Jane, and Mia as opportunists. They told the truth, she said. They were terrified. They were humiliated. They were controlled. Her emotional appeal? Don't confuse survival with consent. This wasn't love, she said. It was exploitation. So today was the last chance for both sides to claim the narrative. And they couldn't have told more different stories. The defense told a story of chaos, sex, and personal pain, flawed relationships, not felonies. The prosecution told a deliberate story of deliberate criminality, power used like a weapon, and victims silenced by fear and wealth. Agnifilo painted Combs as human, brilliant, messy, self-destructive, but not criminal. Comey painted him as methodical, manipulative, and abusive, a man who finally ran out of room to hide. Now it's on the jury. Instructions come next, then deliberations, no more arguments, no more theatrics, just 12 people, 3 serious charges, and 1 question. Was this a broken man or a criminal one? What are your thoughts at the end of all of this? Which surprisingly was shorter than the trial of Karen Reed.
Shockingly, right?
Yeah.
I've said this from all along. I think when you hold that much power, I don't know how to say this. I think you have a responsibility. Our society gives people power based on money and status, position. I think you have an obligation to be a good human and to not destroy other people's lives. And I just, seeing that hotel video, that's not the first time that's happened. Mm-hmm. That doesn't just happen like that. I've had the view that this is just a really damaged individual and was just getting away with everything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my opinion, but like I said, you don't just wake up one morning and decide to drag your girlfriend down the hall by her hair.
Yeah.
You don't just get to that point. There was some history there. There was previous circumstances, previous events where this happened before, and it just wasn't filmed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, people can snap. I'm not going to say they can't, but this just, I'm sorry. This is not the first time that's happened. And he probably didn't have any consequences for that kind of behavior.
Yeah, well, this clearly. Is
a broken human being. This is a criminal, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. 3 charges against him, the racketeering conspiracy, prosecutors alleging Combs led that criminal enterprise, using his companies and trusted aides to facilitate illegal activities over years, hinges on proving he orchestrated or delegated crimes such as bribery, obstruction of justice, kidnapping, arson, not just that he was personally violent, making him culpable under RICO law. So,
you know, the RICO part, that's a little tougher. I would be a terrible juror. I think I've said that time and time again, because I come in with an opinion. It's going to take a lot to change that opinion. Mm-hmm. So I'm focused on him being a domestic violence perpetrator. And that's not what he's charged with.
Well, there's 2 other charges. We got to get to those. Yeah, he's not, it's not, there's not a domestic violence charge. No. I mean, it's kind of like raked in there a bit. You know, the kidnapping, obstruction of justice, you know, anything violent, that could be, you know, in there. They got to prove that Diddy directed or participated in organized criminal enterprises, at least two predicate crimes. So bribery, arson, kidnapping, over time. I mean, the evidence is there. Is it a, you know, like a habitual one? I mean, is there a pattern of it?
I mean, I feel like the bribery part might be easy to prove.
So the prosecution argued Diddy acted as the general, basically, delegating the crimes. Evidence included alleged bribes, you know, to the hotel staff, cover-ups, destroyed surveillance video, and witness testimony showing systematic abuse. So you got that. The odds on this, of what the internets are saying, what ChatGPT is telling me at this moment in time, low to moderate. It's complex. It's a very complex charge for a jury. Jurors might find the enterprise structure vague and poorly defined. And if only one predicate act is proven, you need to get two basically here. So it could, that's one that has some teetering on it. Then you have the sex trafficking by forced fraud or coercion. The prosecutors have to show that Combs unknowingly caused someone to engage in commercial sex by using force, threats, manipulation, or psychological coercion. Testimony from Cassie and Jane describes psychological control, threats, and the inability to say no. Videos show drug use and emotional coercion heavily emphasized. Defense has said that the encounters were consensual, emotionally messy, but not criminal. They pointed to the affectionate texts and long-term romantic involvement. So the odds on this one, moderate to high.
Yeah.
For one or more counts. The Cassie assault video is damning. Jurors may see that it's supporting the broader narrative of coercion. The blurred lines between consent and control is where there may be problems. But it may be the prosecution's strongest as well. So moderate to high on that one. The other one, transportation to engage in prostitution. This is the one of the lower, this is the lowest charge. Only takes proof that Combs knowingly transported someone across state lines with the intent they engage in commercial sex. I think that's been proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
Records of flights, hotels, all that, that's all there. So that he's likely to get that one. That holds the lesser of the penalties. It could be little to nothing. I think like max is around 10 years. Don't quote me on that. So I think he's going down at least for a little, unless he gets, you know, like time served or probation. I mean, there is a possibility he is found guilty on something, but basically doesn't have to do anything other than he's on probation. And then there's a possibility he goes away for a few years or quite a lot longer, depending on how this all falls. And I really kind of feel like it could fall anywhere.
Well, and don't forget, they've got his assets tied up too. So
yeah,
even if he goes away for a few years, that's going to be devastating to his brand and, you know, his fortune.
Well, basically, all that would go away on those. So, yeah, they can, all that would be up in forfeiture. So, yeah. It's going to be very fascinating to see how this all plays out now that it is in the hands of the jury. I'm thinking this is not going to take long. By the time you're seeing this, they may already have a verdict. But, who knows? It's going to be very fascinating. Where do you think it's going to land here? Not where you want it to land, where you think it's going to land.
I think it's going to be a 50-50 split. They're going to find him guilty on some things, and the state didn't prove enough in others. And I'm not sure what that will be, but I don't think it's going to be guilty across the board.
No.
And I think it's going to be a quick verdict. I think they're going to be back very fast.
Yeah.
Well, that's just my gut.
And we're leading into the 4th of July weekend too. So I don't think they want to spend
They're not going to want to let this linger.
I don't know that it's even going to take more than a day. I'm going to guess by the time you're in that room, you probably got your mind made up. That's me. I think I already would be like, I know where I'm at.
Yeah, I think so. This isn't going to be like Karen Reed. This is going to be those people walking into the room going, okay, let's take a vote.
Yep. Get your Subway sub and go home.
Yep. Pretty much. That's what I always say.
Yep. All right. There you go. Let us know what you think in the comments section. Press subscribe wherever you're watching or listening, and we'll see where the verdict comes in for the diddler.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.